The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We're always glad to have you. A lot's been going on. If anybody's been monitoring the news nationwide, but especially in this area, we're seeing a lot of things that are happening up in Baltimore right now. And we've got a Baltimore company here in the studio with us who's going to be joining us to talk about a unique dynamic that's going on, cybersecurity, but also how this is impacting Baltimore. We're going to be kicking the show off with this today because there's some unique things that are happening that people may not understand, that there's some influence that's going on from other places that may be impacting what's happening with the Baltimore situation, the Freddie Gray case, what's going on with the riots and how it's impacting not only the region, but also the nation. And so we want to talk about these things today. We have in the studio some people from ZeroFox. You can find them at ZeroFox.com. They're a cybersecurity firm, but they've been doing a lot of stuff in terms of social media analysis, looking at the threats that are coming. We've got Chris Cullison. He's the CTO, the Chief Technology Officer. He's over here. And welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you.
And then we also have C.W. Walker. He is a cyber analyst, a cyber intel analyst at ZeroFox. And welcome, C.W.
Thanks, sir.
All right. And so, guys, talk to us. You know, you guys are a Baltimore company, so this definitely affects you. One, in terms of, you know, when you're seeing this situation right now, you're looking at the social media, and everybody's been talking about Twitter and how the young people, you know, are either on Twitter or whatever social media, and they're moving in different directions. What are you seeing from the social media analysis, and how is it impacting this situation?
So it's pretty unique as you look at how social media is affecting this, whether it's the rallying cry to organize, and whether it's a Twitter, whether it's an Instagram, whether it's Kick, you know, all these different networks that float out there, and people can speak to each other. And we're dealing with a generation, as we talk about some of the situations that occurred Monday, that's how they communicate. And it's not just the rumor mill of 10 years ago of, did you hear this is going to happen? This is real time. So I can have people come to me, respond to me, gather with me in real time through these methods. So being able to understand what's going on, how this is happening, where the impacts may be. We're seeing meetings in suburbs now that are being organized in different cities, as we saw with New York on Thursday night, that these things occur pretty quickly. You know, they happen fast. They don't need to be planned for a month. These can happen within minutes and people can attach to them. So for us, this was right in our front yard as this was going. These are things we could look out of our office windows. And again, it's a city we love. And we also saw that, as you don't always see in the national media, this wasn't, you know, an entire city. This was very, you know, a lot of peacefulness going on, but some elements that were triggering things. And I think as we look at some of the bigger things is, as we talk about these groups organizing together, but we can talk in a second, is these all weren't local residents. We were seeing things from around the nation and overseas that were looking to try to instigate or get attention for being involved with this.
When I was just talking to you guys, and both, you know, Chris and CW chime in, when I was just talking to you guys, I was startled, you know, when you kind of said, and everybody's been saying outside agitators, you know, there's this dynamic, you know, when we heard about it on the ground, but you're saying that there's some outside agitators that are coming in on social media that is now having an impact, and maybe they're trying to agitate maybe a riot or agitate misinformation.
Most definitely. And I think we can go over some of those examples, but the idea of the actions, what they're doing, you know, even if you're looking at it from a policing standpoint, what's real, what's not, where is something occurring? And this is being picked up as if it's real. So if I'm saying, hey, I just broke into this store, everybody come join me.
Right.
And then we're able to trace that back, that person in that entire network is out of San Antonio, Texas. Hmm. That person's not in Baltimore, but this is getting picked up, and you can see how authorities, how do they know what's real, what's not? Much like what the organizations that occurred on Monday or even today or in New York yesterday, where should attention be? Where could there be problems? Where could there be peaceful demonstrations that don't need to occur?
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing about social media is that a lot of these traditional propaganda or instigator techniques where you'd have to have someone on the ground, and I mean, we've seen protesters come from outside the city, but you can have that kind of operability without actually having to leave your home. And so I think that it changes the dynamic for security and policing, especially in those ways, because there's not any borders. The cost of joining is nil.
Right. You know, people would ask a question, especially if you're talking about San Antonio, you're talking about overseas, the Middle East and other places. People would ask a question, why? You know, why? I mean, of course, I mean, you know, when you look at it, they see destruction. Why are some of these people doing, you know, the outside agitators, why are they trying to ramp things up this way?
We really look at, the, you know, whether it's the Baltimore situation, whether it's other things around national security, or even if it's something that we don't even understand the context. You really have three groups of actors that tend to happen. You've got your nation states that are out there, whether you talk about the Sony hack or things like that, that may or may not have been attributed to an actual nation that was behind these. You have your organized crime elements. And then we have what you call your hacktivist, or these groups of people on these networks that can gather together and form a network for attack. They may not have never met, don't know anything. They have a common cause. So whether that's against terrorist group like ISIS, whether it's against a city like Baltimore, and they decide we're going to take the city of Baltimore offline and we're going to stage and coordinate our attack using social media, they can do that. And part of the thing is, I don't need to know my network and I don't need to expose my network anymore. I can leverage these platforms to get quick reach across the world. So when we look at some of the foreign actors, and we've been looking at what some of their process is it to make a statement? Is it to disrupt things? Is it to affect the economy? And, you know, is it good that there's unrest in multiple cities right now, and to continue that fire and to draw instability? You know, there are definitely areas where foreign nations can, it's not the dropping leaflets out of a plane anymore. It's a single tweet with a hashtag can be just that powerful.
You know, it's amazing because, you know, you look at all the worldwide media, look at Russia Today, you look at a number of different places, Al Jazeera, wherever the case is, and they're covering. They've got people on the ground covering, you know, in Baltimore. And you know, of course, we always look at it as well, but it doesn't make the United States look well. You know, it makes, you know, Ferguson, and during Ferguson happened, we had a number of foreign countries who were, you know, tweeting, you know, look at the U.S. They don't have their human rights together, and they're trying to talk about other people's human rights. I mean, is this what we're talking about now, a dynamic of kind of the nation states and other people taking things to another level?
I think so. And I think you can see this, especially, you know, we were looking at live feeds from RT, which is Russia's operation here in the United States. And it's a really big boon for these countries because it's so easy for them to have someone sitting in an office in Moscow and instigating violence or riots or whatever it may be, and then have reporters on the ground saying, hey, you should be in this area because this is where it's going to be hot. And then they have a live feed of cities in unrest.
Right.
And so I think that the propaganda angle from these nation states, it just makes it really challenging for actors, whatever country, United States or otherwise, to protect themselves against this because it's coming from multiple attack vectors.
You know, when we look at this and we kind of, it seems as if these people are starting to understand, either they got to understand our young people, they got to understand what networks to get into, whether it be a Snapchat or whether it be a Tumblr or whether it be an Instagram, or, I mean, there's so many social media, Periscope or whatever the case is. I mean, and like you said, they're free to enter. But it almost means that you have to understand, you know, kind of the mindset of the young people in order to influence them or say something that will get to them. I mean, what are you seeing in terms of, are there other young people who are doing this? I mean, what's the influence?
Yeah, I returned from a trip from Singapore for an event, and it was amazing to walk around the streets and walk behind people and see that they're, you know, on the other side of the world, literally on the other side of the world, walking around with their Facebook up, you know, using these things. It's not just an American concept. This is how people get information now. Right. You know, we're having a talk that people can listen to, but if there's breaking news, people get their news feeds from their Twitter feed, from their friends. That's where they go. And then they may do some diligence. Hey, did this really just happen? You know, we can go time and time again how breaking news from social media true or false created large actions beyond. But the term that's being used is called FOMO, the fear of missing out. Mm. And the fact of needing information instantly, it's not something here. It's not something, how are the millennials proceeding now? They don't use email. They use social media. But this is worldwide. Watching, you know, the Olympic coverage in Russia and use of different networks over there and how that was how events and everything was being broadcast. ESPN just redid their entire website so you could see live Twitter streams as people were talking and seeing events. So that's the way they're reaching out to the world. And it really takes you, it is a worldwide web, and there's people connecting, whether it's a phone, a laptop, their vehicles, their TVs, all connecting into this at all times.
We're talking to Chris Cullison and C.W. Walker from Zero Fox. You can find them at ZeroFox.com. They are a social media analytic company. They are a cybersecurity company. They're dealing in terms of the cutting edge of analyzing some of these threats that are coming from cybersecurity. And also now the growing threat that's coming from social media, that people are now using misinformation to cause damage. We're talking about these things today. We'll be right back. We're going to keep this conversation going. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about an important issue, cybersecurity, but we're talking about social media analysis. We're talking about the dynamic of how social media right now is having an impact on our society. We're seeing this in Baltimore right now with the riots, with the Freddie Gray case. We're seeing this all over, a dynamic that social media can be a powerful and good thing, but it can also be used to cause harm. It can also be used in order to misinform people. It can also be used to influence people to do bad things. And it's not just a young person who may be in Baltimore, but now we're finding out that it may be a person in San Antonio. It may be a person in the Middle East. It may be a person somewhere else who may be trying to influence people on the ground in another country to do certain things for a number of different reasons that are very, very bad. We're talking to ZeroFox.com. They're on the cutting edge. They're a Baltimore company. So this is impacting them personally. They're on the ground in Baltimore, so they're seeing it. And they're also helping some of the authorities in Baltimore kind of look at social media and the impact that it's having in terms of maybe trying to stop some of these riots or stop people from doing certain things and maybe catch the people who may be influencing certain things. We're talking to Chris Cullison. He's the CTO of ZeroFox.com. And then C.W. Walker. He is a cyber analyst at ZeroFox. And you can find all their information at ZeroFox.com. They got some good stuff on their website. You know, we were talking about a number of different things in terms of this Baltimore. I kind of want to continue with this because I was just really kind of shocked what you guys were just telling me about this. We've seen, you know, the young people really kind of go through and they're grabbing on, like you mentioned, they're getting their news, they're getting their information from Facebook. How easy is it? Because, you know, everything is about friending, right? Everything is about kind of linking to somebody else. Everything is about this. With these young people, and is it a lot of people who are now creating these false profiles to make it seem like I'm from your neighborhood or I'm from your area, so link to me or whatever? Because a lot of people, if they just knew who it was and they knew this was somebody from the middle, they'd be like, I don't know you, right? But you know, are we seeing that a lot of people online are false?
It's a combination of that. It's one, the ability, and whether we talk about it, your traditional, you know, what's called phishing or connecting and bringing right. that in, the ease of which people are willing to connect. The percentage of the worldwide population, you know, almost 3/4 of the world population is active on social. A lot of them don't even realize that's connected to the internet. Close to 40% of those polled have accepted requests or are connected to people they don't know. And when we talk about a Facebook and friending, but you also have your Twitters or your LinkedIn where, hey, it's a kind of a private business network. The success stories of around people with the pretty face profiles or the pretty resume profiles. I went to MIT, I went to Harvard. And their ability to connect to large networks of people. And in LinkedIn, it's based on, hey, you know CW, you know Chris, I probably know you. I'll connect in also. And you've let them in your door. You've let them see your information. And they're now in your network. So whether they're looking at you or they're using you as a conduit to go after somebody you're connected to, you've let them in. Whether we're talking about a police department, a city official, a government organization, an enterprise, a company, or a single employee, it's the easy way to attack now. And as we talked about, the attribution of the attacker isn't heavy anymore. It's not the guy that can hack into something and not get caught and is the smartest guy around. He can build his entire network, really cheap, $5, and can create these accounts and download tools that somebody else, the smart guy, already wrote for him to use or her to use. And they don't need to be that super smart person.
And I think, too, another thing that we can come back to is these hacktivists. I mean, 50% of the bad stuff you see on the internet as far as cyber attacks is from hacktivists. But those people are perfectly fine with teaching someone who doesn't know how to use the tools how to open up phishing sites, how to create profiles, how to stay anonymous online, you know, because they have an agenda. And the more soldiers that they're able to build, I mean, it's easy for them to kind of push a narrative with low costs. You don't have to have a lot of knowledge to do cyber attacks nowadays.
Is there any way, you know, you talk about the attribution and talk about kind of verifying, you know, I mean, like you said, I mean, people now, whether it be LinkedIn, whether it be Facebook or whatever, you kind of trust by, you know, hey, my friend, you're a friend of my friend and things like that. And like you just mentioned, kind of the pretty face profile, attractive woman or attractive man, and they seem to be okay, and their profile seems to be that they got enough information on it, right? Are we at a point now that it's going to be hard to verify, that we have to get to a point of that we cannot trust?
It's, you know, you kind of worry about that concept of training. Do people need to be trained? Do people understand? It's the idea of where we were with email. The number of people that will click on a bad link in email, 0.02%. People know to avoid those things. Now, they've educated. They're smart. Social media is a different world. It was built on this whole idea of these interconnections of people you trust or know somebody you know. So when you see the success rates of the attacks with phishing, and we talked about, hey, the image and how you can influence that, there's many more use cases of very destructive attacks that once they get in your doors, they now have your systems, your computers, your traditional cyber attacks. You've just walked them right in the door to launch that attack. And, you know, 78% on some networks, we've done statistics and studies to show, are willing to, within seconds, approve or connect with somebody if they come through a social media network with that pretty face. Wow. We had an account that got so many friend requests that it was shut down within an hour because it was, hey, check out my party page, things like that, all quickly able to lure people in. So yes, do you have your traditional, I'll fall for anything, it looks good enough to try. But we also have found that it's not always the too good to be true. If I say I'm going to give you a coupon for 10 free Starbucks coffee, you're going to ignore it. But if I say I have a coupon for 10% off, okay, that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Again, running studies, the number of people that were willing to go ahead and accept that, even though it was fake, and the ability that real Starbucks started sharing it, even though it was fake. So you just have an entire element of the world that just hasn't quite caught up with the speed of information. And when we look at traditional cybersecurity, it hasn't caught up yet. It's used to building these big walls around people or enterprises when you can't put a wall around a person. And that's the weakest link in any security chain.
Right. You know, with all of that, you know, as you were kind of thinking about those things, and I attended a presentation, you guys, it was really great. And you talked about the wall, you talked about the kind of the castle dynamic, and we're kind of beyond that now. You can't protect yourself in this castle, right? You can't be in this fortified structure anymore. But with it, you know, as we kind of think about it, you know, and it used to be a time we could trace people back by the IP. You know, we could trace people back and kind of find, like you said, it was a structure that people had to have a big computer zone and you could kind of maybe find them. But now everybody's mobile. You could be on, you could drop your phone, you could be it could be a waste phone and just get rid of it real quick or whatever the case is. Is it some kind of way that we can actually find these people now? I mean, is there some kind of way if somebody develops a fake profile, but then they just fade out, can they be found?
Not the create shameless plugs here, but you know, that's what we're in business to do. Right. I mean, that's what our technology is built on. The combination of when these people appear and what we like to call sight unseen.
Okay.
The very first time we see somebody operating out there, the very first time you see a link, and I put something on CW's wall, you click on it, I take it down. Mm-hmm. CW never knew it was there.
Right.
And that's where your traditional security tools never had a chance to look at that. So you've got to kind of react at that speed. I think for just a...
Because it's that quick, right? I mean, it's happening that fast.
And it's always the, hey, be careful who you connect with. Be careful with what you share. The ability to look in and be able to say, well, hey, I'm connected with you. I now know what high school you went to. I know the name of your pet. I know the name of your wife. Now I can go figure out the secret answers on your questions to get into your bank account.
Right.
You know, it's those little elements that you're opening up without realizing when you fill out your secret questions on your bank account so you can open up your password. The ease even to get into the passwords of your social media accounts. Some of them, you request a password reset, it'll start giving you the information about who you say you are.
Right.
And, you know, we're seeing that at the highest levels of government. And you even see, and I think the other problem we're seeing is people that don't have social accounts or say, yep, we don't allow that to happen within our enterprise. That doesn't mean there isn't one out there that claims to be you, that isn't connecting to people that you would be friends with and doing bad things.
I want to talk about that when we come back. I know you guys talked about a number of cases where people develop profiles of higher level people and then people start following them. And people were, you know, getting information thinking that this person was a person of a credential person, a person of authority. Right. And I want to talk about that when we come back, because in that whole dynamic, again, you wonder, well, who can I trust? How can I make sure that I'm following the right information? Fake news sites or everything else. We're talking about all these things right now. We're talking to the people from ZeroFox. You can find them at ZeroFox.com. We're talking to Chris Cullison. He's a CTO. We're talking to C.W. Walker. He's a cyber analyst. They're there to kind of take a look at social media. They're there to look at the threats that are coming from social media. And then they're looking at cybersecurity threats and seeing what's going on, because we all need to know this kind of stuff. Identities are being stolen. People are being led the wrong kind of way. So there's so many different things that's happening right now that we need to understand what's happening with cybersecurity. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are talking about cybersecurity. We're talking about social media. Most people think social media is a great place. Go on Facebook and have some fun. Go on Snapchat, you know, and talk to some people. Go on Tinder and get a date or whatever the case is. But people are not realizing that there are some things, there's some threats out there with social media, Foursquare, everything like that. All these things can be tracked. You can find out where people are located. You can find out certain information that could be harmful to you, that could be harmful to your company, to your federal agency, that could be harmful in terms of things that are happening that's going on. We see this in Baltimore right now. We've seen this in Ferguson. We've seen this in a number of different events that are going on right now. We're talking about these threats and how to deal with them. We're talking to people from ZeroFox. They are a Baltimore company who are dealing with this kind of stuff. You can find them at ZeroFox.com. We're talking to their chief technology officer, Chris Cullison. We're talking to their cyber analyst, C.W. Walker, and they're explaining these threats for us. You know, at that seminar that's why I wanted to get you guys on the show, because it was startling to me. You know, you mentioned about a number of situations where leaders' profiles had been developed, and they hadn't developed them themselves, but people were thinking that they were following leaders. Talk to us about that.
Anywhere from a government official, an executive at a company, you know, a use case, someone going out there and saying, hey, it's been a rough quarter. We're going to buckle down and we're going to nail it next quarter. And your stock price goes down.
Right.
Well, what if that wasn't really your CEO?
Right.
But what if that profile looks more like your CEO and has more followers, and that's being retweeted and picked up by the news, whether we're talking about the events in Baltimore that may or may not be real, but are being picked up by the media and people are responding to that. The same idea occurs there. And as you look in government agencies that say, well, our people, they're not allowed on. That's great. And one of our first use cases was exactly that scenario, is, well, let's see what we can find. And it was startling. And CW, you can talk about some of the numbers we had around some of these in, you know, high value positions within the nation that didn't have any real presence. But the number we get almost on a daily basis of people coming up and doing really nasty things.
Yeah, I mean, when we started some of the analysis on these accounts, I think within the first week, we had over 1,000 hits for one executive. And after that, 200 fake profiles being created every week.
Hmm.
And
of fake executives, of fake leaders.
Fake executives, yeah. And when you have that kind of a volume, it's difficult to tell who's real, because, you know, these may be some older gentlemen, or their organizations say, you know, they're not allowed to be on social media. So the better looking a profile, the more likely it is that someone inside that organization, a subordinate, is going to connect to it. And that could be a way to compromise the organization. Like Chris was saying, it could be a way to gather information to, you know, go after families of people inside of the organization. We saw that with some of the CENTCOM stuff and with people releasing addresses of soldiers online saying, hey, go and attack these people. But, I mean, it's a huge challenge. Even if you say that we're not allowed to be on social media, the fact that those accounts are being created can still make your organization vulnerable.
You know, you mentioned about a number of agencies now, and I've seen this, you know, social media policies now, you know, and agencies are either saying don't or be very, very cautious about what you put on social media. I know you mentioned a case study that you saw some things and it was kind of startling. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So it was a government agency. Mm-hmm. Hey, our people aren't allowed on social media. We're fine. So very quickly, and what we call a threat assessment, social threat assessment, we sat there and we're okay, what's the easiest way to do this? We sat and watched a diner, and those kind of in the area probably know exactly where I'm talking about, across the street where everybody goes to lunch. Mm-hmm. And we watch Foursquare, which is a place where you kind of say, this is where I'm eating. Tends to be something more of a 30 and above crowd that use such an app. And, you know, these are things that are built in, you know, Fords and Chevys. You can check right in the Foursquare when you pull into a restaurant. Right. So whether they're doing it or not, we're sitting there and watching, and I'll say Amy Kay checks in at Foursquare with three people, and she's got her picture on her Foursquare. And then we go out and we use that photo, look who she's connected to, and just look in other networks and, you know, having analysis that lets that grind away and come back to results and saying, hey, there's the same person on Facebook that works for a government agency, and she's also connected to very similar people. And I know she's coming to lunch here every Tuesday at 1:00. I also know she's on vacation next week. And, you know, at the other level is I now know family members. So where we've actually seen these attacks, let's say Amy never was on social media, but her child was. And we've seen these attacks. They've gone after family members to get into the home networks.
Right.
Because then when you connect at home, are you using a separate internet connection? Maybe the highest of the high, or, you know, the people with very segmented access may do those things, but are you doing that on your phone also when you're just checking the scores of the Capitals game? Now you're getting on your regular Wi-Fi. So they were just sitting there waiting.
And the crazy part about it is because most people's, you know, in terms of OPSEC or operational security for organizations, most people say, well, I got myself secure, but they don't think about the, you know, the wife or the husband. They don't think about, you know, the son or the daughter. And most kids now, at 9 or even younger, have an iPhone or have an Android or have a tablet or something like that, where they're logging onto things, and most of them are very, very casual with their social media presence, and so it's becoming that easy.
Yeah, and I think you know, you mentioned Snapchat and Periscope, things like that. These aren't conversations that a lot of parents can even have with their kids because they don't have any idea what the newest social media thing is.
Right.
So yeah, if you have the knowledge, you can have the conversation. You know, we need to be safe, need to keep our information secure. But a lot of the parents just aren't even aware of the new apps that people are using to share information.
And I think from that, yeah, to be able to go, and let's just say we're talking to an executive at a company, to now say, well, we need to lock down your child's all their social accounts.
Right.
And we've got to monitor all that. You know, you're on that line, and, you know, honestly, you have privacy. You know, how far is too far?
Right.
Or, and here's my work account, here's my private account. So that's the risk that's out there. And as we say, when people, organizations like, well, nobody can go to Facebook from their desk, we're fine. Or if you have people, they can be targeted. And it, the old days of that random phishing email that you could get somebody. But, you know, a Verizon data breach report that if I'm launching a Twitter campaign to fish somebody, 99.9986% success rate. Hmm. You know, I'm going to be successful, right, if I do that. And if I know I'm coming after WTOP and their employees in the organization, I only have to get one. And then I can build my network and take that. And then I can also share that with everybody on my network. It's not the old days of, again, my gang hanging out in the basement, hoping not getting caught. A simple tweet, I can then activate everybody on Derek. Let's go get him. Here's his IP address. We're seeing it right now, whether it's a situation in Baltimore, whether it's a situation with ISIS, that when data comes out, they can quickly share and say, everybody join in. Let's go do this.
It becomes a digital beachhead.
Yeah. Wow. You know, you mentioned and kind of going to the White House dynamic, you guys mentioned this in the presentation. When the White House, that one situation, they said the president had been hurt in the White House or something like that. And then all of a sudden, let me talk to us about what that impact was, because that was a complete misinformation campaign.
Yeah. So again, as we talked about that fear of missing out with news. So there was an AP tweet that came out and, you know, kind of made headlines. AP, you know, was hacked. You know, they like to say hacked. We, you know, generally it's, they were compromised. Okay. That, you know, somehow or the other, somebody got a hold of their password. And the comments of, you know, bombing at the White House, president's whereabouts unconfirmed. So what ended up happening behind there is when you look at the financial market, if something like that would really happen, you know, take a step back from 9/11, what happened with our financial markets? Things closed. You know, nobody knew what was going to happen next. Right. Something as devastating as that happened to our country, what would happen to our markets? So the bad guys launched that as a financial attack. They were sitting there on the other side waiting for the immediate stock drop. Hey, if something happened at the White House, we're going to start selling. We're peaking right now in the value of some of these stocks. Let's start selling. They were sitting on the other side buying. And they're not sitting on the other side buying in Ohio. And as we talked about why foreign actors would be involved in something like this, they're sitting in other countries. You know, they're going four or five steps to launder the money before you could trace them, and going through banks you can't, again, with the privacy concerns, get to. And especially when you look at the things that occur in Europe now, hey, an IP address could be considered personally identifiable information. You're not even allowed to know that about somebody. Right. So if I'm in one of those scenarios, I've, you know, multi-billion dollar effect of that single tweet. So where it looked like, oh man, they should have had better passwords. You know, we can look at, you know, other ones, the CENTCOM recently, where you see U.S. Central Command's Twitter page now appears as an ISIS page. The analogy we used and got from an official was they stole a tank, drove it down to the corner and spray painted it. That was the extent of it. If they would have turned the turret and fired, what if they would have, instead of putting an ISIS image up there, said urgent alert for all U.S. travelers, please download and read. And that was a piece of malware or something infecting or tracing people or getting, hey, I'm just going to trace where you're at. So everybody clicks on this. I know in the world where they are. I can start building those. It would have been that simple. And when you look at the numbers of who probably, I would have probably clicked on it, you know.
Because it's a valid resource.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and that's, you know, people say, well, you can have verified accounts on these networks. Great. We've shown time and time again, I can have a verified network that's not real. I can have one that's not verified, but you think it's verified. And that we found fake verified networks. And the same idea, what if it was verified and now it's been compromised? That's not the, well, I'm only going to accept Twitter accounts with the blue check mark next to it. I know I'm safe. Sure. That's not solving the problem. That's not, I'm going to eat broccoli for dinner, right, but yeah, I'm still going to have steak for breakfast and my heart's going to be fine. You're still going to have these issues.
Right. You know, we're talking about this, and I want to keep on talking about it because you mentioned ISIS and kind of the terrorism, and they're using social media. A lot of these terrorist organizations, a lot of other people are using social media right now. I want to talk about that when we come back in terms of the impact of that. And also, even criminal organizations are really starting to get into this social media and do fake things in order to make money. I want to talk about the dynamics in terms of the criminal and terrorism aspects of these things when we come back. We're talking to Zero Fox. They're at ZeroFox.com. You can find them. They're a Baltimore company. They're dealing with the issues, not only in Baltimore, but just worldwide. They're dealing with kind of the dynamics of social media, but the threats of social media, you know, how people are using social media in the wrong way, cybersecurity threats, how it's impacting not only federal agencies, but companies, but also individuals. We're talking about all these things right now on Fed Access, an interesting show. And we're going to definitely have to have these guys back because they're covering so many different things that people are not thinking about right now. And we've got to get to. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about cybersecurity. We're talking about social media, but not the necessarily the fun side of social media, but the dynamics of understanding the threats of social media, understanding what's going on out there, how people are using social media the wrong ways. It's a great tool in order to network, keep in touch with people, but there's a lot of vulnerabilities right there, and we're learning about them today. We're talking about this with the good people from Zero Fox. They came down today. They're in Baltimore. They've been dealing with the Baltimore situation, but they came down today to talk about this important issue. And they can find them at ZeroFox.com. They got a lot of good resources on there. And if it's a company or agency who needs this kind of help, they're one of the people who should be out there helping them. Where we're talking to Chris Cullison. He's the CTO at ZeroFox.com, at Zero Fox, I should say. And then we're talking to C.W. Walker. He is a cyber analyst at Zero Fox. And then we're talking about what's going on. I mentioned about ISIS. And I mentioned about kind of cartels and criminal organizations or just a criminal, you know, just an individual criminal. What are we seeing with, you know, because they're using social, they're using YouTube, they're using Facebook, they're using all kind of stuff. What are we seeing with these terrorists?
So just gave a presentation with Dr. Kenneth Gears out at RSA Security Conference of the usage of ISIS in social media. So Dr. Gears used to work for NCIS, currently working with NATO to identify these new tools of the bad guys. Okay. And when we look at social media and when we look at the traditional bad guy, what you see on shows like 24, they've got their warehouse with their computers. Why? And I could have a drone hit me at any time. Right. I would lose everything. Why don't I just use Twitter's infrastructure or Facebook's infrastructure? They can gather, communicate worldwide under things that fill in with the noise. And when you look at, hey, intelligence and how do you get messages out, is you have so much noise out there. How do you pick out what's real and what's fake? Right. So a combination of them appearing to be 15-year-old soccer players from Ohio that are interconnected to recruiting. You know, you've seen the headlines recently how ISIS was recruiting and people from Ohio were locked up where they weren't sending a mail. They weren't getting a FedEx shipment. They were communicating with them via social networks. So from that to even the travesties that are happening, the beheadings, those things, the lighting of the Jordanian pilot, they didn't film this and take over a satellite truck. They broadcast it on YouTube, right, or Vine. You know, they're showing, hey, here's troops manning this checkpoint. Here's what time they switch units. Here's a zoom in of their nameplates. And there's a Vine video shared without, and then they, who is this? What is this person? Well, this account's been either around for a long time or was only been around for a couple seconds. The people that need the information got it. I think CW have a couple of the other use cases we've dug into.
Yeah. So, I mean, Chris, he mentioned recruiting, and with social media, what it enables them to do too is go after a younger crowd, get them while they're young with the propaganda. And ISIS is interesting because they're much more sophisticated graphically than a lot of other organizations that we've seen previously. They've used social media, things like Al-Shabaab, things like that. But what they're using social media for as well is, to kind of consolidate some of that local support, increase territorial control. They're raising funds through social media. They're obviously spreading the propaganda. And like Chris said, they're trying to manipulate military tactics towards their own agenda. So the way that they do this is, we talked about this when we did our presentation before at IWP, is hashtag hijacking and astroturfing. So they grab a hashtag that's already trending, here in the West or over in the Middle East, and they just jump onto it and they start spreading a message with that hashtag. For example, with the stuff going on in Baltimore, it could be hashtag Baltimore protests, and all of a sudden you're getting a bunch of ISIS stuff. Mm. And then additionally, they created their own app, Arabic language Twitter app called the Dawn of Glad Tidings, or Dawn. It goes down, they build it back up, but when users click on this, it gives ISIS control over their Twitter accounts. Mm. So as they go to move into a city like Mosul, something like that, it starts off as one tweet, ISIS is coming, you better watch yourselves. And then you see 20 tweets, 1,000, 10,000 tweets by, 100 plus actors. All of a sudden, it looks like there's a lot of support in that city for ISIS, when in reality, it's just a bunch of accounts that have been hijacked.
When you look at this kind of stuff, it almost seems like, unless you shut the internet down, right, which we're not going to do, because things are built in now, infrastructure is built into it. We've had concerns about airlines and airlines and their internet infrastructure being taken over and somebody maybe controlling the plane. How do we deal with this?
The airlines is a perfect example. Let's say there's a message out on social media, a bomb threat or something like that. They've got to take that serious, right? Because what if something happened to that airplane and they're like, well, you knew about this 12 hours ago. Right. What if there were 20,000 of those? What do you do? Do you ground that plane? Well, that's what happens today. They've got to investigate those things.
Right. You shut down a whole airport if you possibly.
Yeah. So the idea is there, how do you understand what's real, what's not, what's the noise, what's it not? And that's one of the difficulties is I can go and, I don't want to, point out that any network's better than the other, but to be able to go out and generate and have tools that I go from creating a brand new profile today, and heck, I put a pretty girl's face on it, now I've got 10,000 followers, or I go buy them and I buy a whole command and control scenario where I can make them all retweet or repost or resend messages on my click of a single button. I'm not just one bad guy. I just spent 10 whole dollars to build an entire network of badness. Right. And I didn't even have to be smart enough to know how to do it. Right. CW said there's more than enough people that will film a YouTube video to show you how to do it on your own. It's not the guy that went to the public library and checked out the book on building pipe bombs anymore. Right. you have an entire unlimited library. Again, YouTube, a social network, going out there showing you how to do these things, downloading entire free toolkits that allow you to say, okay, now I have 10,000 followers and we're all going to go hashtag capitals, the bus crashed. You know, things like that, that, you know, could create major stirs, you know, change people's lives and affect them. And, you know, as we see with whether it's civil uprising or the, you know, beheading of journalists, you know, this isn't just, darn, I lost my account and somebody put an ugly picture of me up. People are dying and people, you know, things are happening and the economies are changing because of the breadth of these attacks.
And like Chris said, I mean, the stakes are a lot higher now than they have been before, but there's a lot of noise. For very little money, you can have 10,000, 100,000 followers on social networks. And I think this is kind of where we're seeing the challenge with law enforcement is, how do you get through the noise? And, you know, you can do manual analysis, which is what a lot of people are doing, but it's really expensive and it's really difficult. But there needs to kind of be a balance between using the technology just like they're using to cut through the noise, and then analysts that know how to deal with it as well.
We've been talking to C.W. Walker. He's a cyber analyst at Zero Fox. You can find him at ZeroFox.com. We're talking to Chris Cullison. He's the CTO, the Chief Technology Officer at Zero Fox. These guys are on the cutting edge of doing cybersecurity and cybersecurity analysis, social media analysis, social media threat analysis, insider threat analysis, and all these different things right now. We're going to have you back. I wish we had more time, because it just flew by. There's so much information, and we could talk about this for hours, but I hope somebody got something from this, that this cybersecurity and this social media game is constantly changing, and we've got to be a lot more aware that we can't have a castle. We've got to have a better strategy out there in order to deal with this. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
And thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.